be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat just as he was, and other boats were with him. A violent squall came up, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. They woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased, and there was great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" They were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who is this whom even wind and sea obey?" The Gospel of the Lord. Today's gospel about Jesus calming the winds and the seas is much more than a demonstration of his power over the forces of nature. He who created the heavens and the earth, the seas and all they contain with a word, could calm them just as quickly. And in today's gospel, we see he did. Neither is today's gospel a manifestation of the failure of the apostles to believe in this power of Jesus. They knew he had the power, which is why they woke him up in the first place. In the days immediately preceding this miracle, they'd already seen Jesus cast out demons, cure Simon Peter's mother-in-law and others who were ill, heal lepers, forgive the sins and paralysis of a crippled man, and strengthen a withered man's hand. They had no doubts about Jesus' omnipotence. The point of today's gospel is that even though they knew Jesus had the power to calm the seas and the wind, they began to doubt whether he would do so. It is a display of their failure to believe in Jesus' love for them. We see this in the question they asked as soon as they startled Jesus from what must have been a very deep and long overdue sleep on an uncomfortable and rocky boat. "Master," they asked, "do you not even care that we are perishing?" Do you not care? They'd begun to doubt whether Jesus gave a hoot whether they drowned in the lake. They'd begun to question whether he was indifferent to their plight. "Teacher, do you not care that we are about to die?" they were asking. Jesus' whole life, of course, is an answer to that question. He did care that we were about to die. And that was the reason why the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, took our human nature and was born of the Blessed Virgin. He cared enough that he spent himself to the point of exhaustion, teaching, healing the sick, and comforting the afflicted. He cared enough ultimately to take our place on death row, giving his life so that we might survive. Yes, emphatically, he did care. Like Jonah, who was tossed into the sea in order to calm the ferocious storm, so Jesus tossed himself overboard to quell the tempest that were causing us to drown. As he hurled himself from the abyss of the cross, he calmed the storm of sin so that we might reach the eternal shore. In all of this, Jesus was screaming, "Yes, I do care." The problem was that the apostles doubted his loving concern. In this, the 12 were like the 12 tribes of Israel 1,300 years earlier. After they had witnessed God's hand in the 10 plagues of Egypt, after they had seen him part the Red Sea, after they had seen Pharaoh's horsemen and chariots perish in the sea, after they had witnessed Moses striking the rock to provide them with water, after they had been fed miraculously with manna and then quails from heaven, after they had seen the thunder and lightning of Moses' conversations with God at the top of Mount Sinai, the Jews continued to doubt in God's love for them. They obviously knew that God had the power. He had already shown them his power on all these occasions. But they doubted whether he would continue to use that power to help them in need. Was it because there were no graves in Egypt, they complained to Moses, that you have taken us away to die here in the desert? Whenever anything got difficult, they grumbled, they doubted, they began to wonder whether God's solicitude had an expiration date. His past actions of loving care didn't factor into that present equation. And the same thing happened with their descendants in the boat. They had witnessed Jesus' power and His goodness on so many occasions, but they began to doubt whether His love, not His power, had a limit. They began to question whether He was indifferent to their plight. It was, simply put, a lack of faith in who He was, based on a failure to grasp the meaning of all He had done up until then. That's why Jesus, as soon as He had awakened and calmed the storms and the wind, turned to His followers and asked, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" The same lack of faith that happened to the Jews in the desert and to the apostles on the Sea of Galilee can happen to all of us. Generally, few of us question whether God, who created the heavens and the earth, has the power to work a miracle for us. But very often we begin to wonder whether He has the will. We too can begin to doubt whether He's indifferent to our plight. We're in the midst of a rock bottom moment, when we're assailed by the storms of sorrow, the downpours of doubt, the twisters of uncertainty, the hail of anxiety, the blizzards of loneliness. We can start to imagine that He's having sweet dreams while we're living through nightmares. We can begin to reckon He's snoring while we're screaming for help. This happens when we, like the 12 tribes and the 12 apostles, begin to forget all that the Lord has done for us up until now, and what that shows about who He is and how loved we are by Him. As St. Paul wrote to the Romans, if God didn't even spare His own Son, but handed Him over for us all, would He not give us everything else besides with Him? If God the Father was willing to allow His Son to be brutally killed so that we might live, He's going to respond with love in every circumstance by giving us what He knows we need. But we have to have that faith in Him and in the power of His continually acting divine love. The apostles were anxious in the boat because they were paying more attention to the waves and the winds around them, to the presence of Jesus with them. The same thing can occur with us. We need to focus more on Christ than our problems. This is the mark of a life of faith. Jesus turns to us in the midst of whatever hardship we're experiencing and says, "Why are you afraid? You still have no faith." To believe in Jesus means not just to trust that He has the power, but to have faith in His goodness and His love and using that power when we really need it. There are many possible applications of the lessons we learn from today's Gospel. But on this day in which we celebrate the gift of fatherhood and pray for and thank all our dads living and deceased, it's fitting for us to celebrate the love of God the Father and thank Him for His fatherly love that He never ceases to show us. Jesus came into the world to reveal the love of the Father for us and to show us how to love Him back, by receiving His love, by speaking to Him with filial confidence, and by seeking to become more and more like Him in the way we care for others. Earthly fathers, like the dads here present, and spiritual fathers, like Cardinal O'Malley, Fathers O'Hara, Rossi, Comu, your new spiritual father, who will be arriving in 11 days, me and other priests, all of us, biological, adoptive, spiritual fathers, have so much to learn about being good dads by learning what Jesus, who is the image of the Father, has revealed to us about the fatherhood of God the Father. A few days ago at Daily Mass, in one of my favorite passages from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke about the confidence we should have in the love of our Father in heaven. Jesus said, "Don't worry about your life, about what you will eat or drink, about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the sky. They neither sow nor reap. They gather nothing into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more important than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single second to your lifespan? Why do you worry about your clothes? Learn from the way the wild flowers grow. They do not work or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of them. If God so clothes the grass of the field, which grows today and is thrown tomorrow into the fire, will he not so much more provide for you? Oh, you have little faith. So don't worry, saying, what are we to eat? Or what are we to drink? Or what are we to wear? All these things the pagans seek, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But you, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you besides. If Jesus is saying that we shouldn't fear whether we're going to receive every day our most fundamental human needs, food, drink, clothing, shelter, then he's all the more saying we shouldn't allow ourselves to be eaten alive by all the other fears that can sometimes torture us. He tells us God the Father knows already what we need. He loves us far more than the sparrows and the lilies, or we can even say the squirrels who run in churches before Mass begins. And Jesus wants us to have that confidence. God the Father is not asleep, although sometimes we're asleep to the power of his love. Many fathers at times worry about how they'll provide for the families they love. They're terrified over the consequences of losing their job or not being able to find a good one. The same thing can happen to spiritual fathers who worry about how they'll pay the bills to keep a parish or a parish school afloat, or to help the many poor families who are struggling within their parishes. How important it is for all dads to recognize that we are not fathering alone. God the Father wants to father those we love through us. Jesus promises, and there's no greater guarantee, Jesus promises that God the Father will always be there providing for what we really need. And on this Father's Day, we thank him for loving us that much. Jesus taught us to pray confidently to the Father, give us this day our daily bread. And I venture to say that every single one of us here who has prayed that prayer has not once ever gone a day in which the Father hasn't in one way or the other heard and responded to that prayer. God the Father always provides. An earthly fatherhood shares in and seeks to imitate his paternal provision. This is the same lesson Jesus imparts to us in today's powerful gospel. A lesson that's meant to transform our life and fill it with confidence and joy that we are so loved by the Father who sent the Son to make it possible for us to live forever with the Father. Jesus' abiding presence is for us a reminder of how much God the Father loves and cares. In his last words before he ascended into heaven, when he gave us as his church the mission to sail through the whole world, proclaiming the gospel, baptizing and celebrating the sacraments, and putting the word of God into practice, Jesus told us, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That same authority that he used to quell the storm. And then he reminded us of his presence with us in the ship, no matter how many storms we're undergoing. Know that I am with you always until the end of time. Jesus remains with us as the icon of the love of the Father. And he remains with us in a special way here in this church. The early Christians, as soon as they started to build churches, used to call the body of the church the nave, from the Latin word navis, for ship. Here, just like 2,000 years ago, Jesus is in the nave. Jesus is in the boat. He's in the ship. Even if at times he's quiet and seemingly asleep, he will awaken not only to speak a word to calm the seas around us or within us, but he will also say in something far greater than he said on the Sea of Galilee, "This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. Take and eat, take and drink." So that from the inside, He can feed us and be with us to calm whatever storms we're battling. As we prepare to receive Him now, He who is the fullest response to the prayer to the Father to give us today what we really need, we ask Him to take away our fears and to increase our faith, so that we might rejoice in the gift of His presence here with us in this nave of the church, Peter's boat, so that we might believe in His power, trust in His undying love, and with all the members of the church, carry out the rescue mission as His spiritual coast guard, all the way until we land at the eternal dock and come triumphant to the Father's house to celebrate with Jesus the eternal Father's Day. May God the Father, on this Father's Day, bless in a special way all our dads who have entered in to this love of God the Father for us through their own fatherhood. May He bless them and bless us all with the greatest of all of His gifts, His Son, whom He's about to send us. Praise be Jesus Christ.